Open your Bibles now, if you will, please. I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 to begin with this morning. And what I want to do, I'm going to pray first, and then I'm going to read quite a few verses of Scripture here before I bring the message this morning on Christ in the flesh. Christ in the flesh. Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would bless. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for the congregation of singing. Lord, for Brother LeVon this morning, for the touch of God on him. Our Father, we know it's the message of the song that thrilled our soul. Thank you, God, for the way that you allowed him to sing it. But our Father, to know that the blood will never, 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 never lose its power. That, God, you're still able to save to the uttermost all that call upon you. And, God, you're able to meet every need of every heart and life in this building and in the radio audience and in the internet audience. You're our all-sufficient Savior. And our fathers, we think now about the Lord Jesus Christ coming in flesh. I pray, God, you'd make it real to me, real to all these here gathered. And, God, I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to read this very familiar passage of Scripture here in the book of Luke, a portion of it beginning at verse 8 of chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I love that phrase, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest. Now, I'm going to come back to that statement in just a moment, but I want to turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. And notice what it said in John, chapter 1, verse number 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, I want to go a little further and read some other texts for you. Turn to the book of 1 Timothy. If you'll just go towards the book of Revelation from where you are there, you'll come to the book of Timothy. Find 1 Timothy. And I want to read one verse, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Now, go back to the book of Luke, if you will, please, our original text in Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter 2. I want to reiterate what the angel said in verse 14. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Can I say to you, my dear friend, what an awesome statement. A little baby has just been born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and heavenly hosts proclaim, "Glory to God in the highest." I got to thinking about it. I went back in the Bible. When God created this world, the Bible said in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and He created everything. The Lord Jesus Christ did. And when He fashioned everything, He separated the waters from above from the waters beneath, brought forth the firmament. But there were no angelic hosts to announce that great act of creation. He caused the sea to bring forth light on the earth. Vegetation of all types, every kind of plant, every kind of flower, every kind of fruit you could ever imagine. But Noah, angels announced the creation of the vegetation line. And then in the sea brought forth abundantly, and the skies were filled with birds and animals of every description, every species covered the earth. But there were no angelic announcements of that. What a mighty act of God's creative power. But the angels didn't say glory to God in the highest when He created the world, when He created the animals, when He created the plants. They didn't give Him such an accolade as they did here in Luke chapter 2. Glory to God in the highest. My dear friend, when all the great men of the Old Testament were born, when Moses was born and Abraham and all those others, those men of God of the Old Testament, no angelic host came to proclaim glory to God in the highest. When God did all those miracles, when He opened the Red Sea, when he stood the River Jordan apart, and when He did all those things of the Old Testament, when fire fell down from heaven, no angels came and proclaimed glory to God in the highest. But here a little baby is born in a manger, laid in a manger, obscure to a peasant girl. Nobody knows about it except the angels. And the angels say, glory to God in the highest. And all of the history of the Old Testament, all the miracles of the Old Testament, the creative act of God in the Old Testament, they never did that. But when Jesus was born, they said, glory to God in the highest. It's like saying, this is the best thing He's ever done. This is the greatest thing He's ever done when He gave His Son a body of flesh. And my dear friend, in all of history throughout of the Old Testament to that point in time, that's the greatest single act that ever occurred. Not the fire falling in Elijah's day, not the Red Sea opening to Moses, not the Jordan opening to Joshua and the children of Israel. No, those were not the great miracle. The great miracle was His Son coming in human flesh. Oh, glory to God in the highest. You think about it. In John chapter 1, said He was light. He was light, and He was the Word, and He was the love of God, and now He's incarnate in human flesh. Now, you think about that. In the natural world, there are three ways things exist. There are gases, and there's liquid, and there's solids. But now, dear friend, listen. Here is light. Light. And men now have, God's given them wisdom, know how to take and intensify light and make a laser out of it, and it can cut. They can do amazing surgeries with it. But on that day, in that manger, God took light and gave it flesh. He clothed that light with a body of flesh. He made it not only visible, but to relate to me and you. Light was incarnate in human flesh. You think about that. You can take a liquid and freeze it and make a solid. My dear friend, but He took light and made it a Savior. What an amazing thing. The Word of God, He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. Not only was light made flesh, that we could see it, but he said the Word of God, the concept of God, the omniscience of God, the wisdom of God was made flesh. The Word of God became flesh. What an amazing, amazing statement. Emmanuel, God with us. Light was made flesh. And the Word was made flesh. And the Bible said, for God so loved the world. And God is love. And the Bible said, God was manifest in the flesh. My dear friend, Jesus Christ. Great is the controversy. Without controversy, the Bible said in the book of 1 Timothy. Great, without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. That God was manifest in the flesh. He took all of God and put Him in flesh. All of the wisdom of God, all the omniscience of God, all the knowing of God, and put Him in a body. Look over in the book of Colossians, would you please? Find the book of Colossians in chapter number 2 and verse number 9. Let me read this verse to you. It said, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. The greatest creative act of all of the Bible was when He made light flesh. When He made when he made the Word flesh, when he made God himself flesh, God in flesh. What an amazing thing. His DNA was different than anybody ever lived. Nobody else like him. None like him. He was not born into Adam's race as normal men. He had no earthly father. He only had a heavenly father. And that womb, that virgin womb, that was where the Holy Ghost of God had sanctified. And that little baby was born clothed in flesh. Light became flesh. The Word became flesh. God became flesh. What an amazing thing. And love became flesh. It's hard to describe love. It's how that a whole world could be out here and somewhere in that economy, a woman and a man meet, and they have a different feeling toward one another than anybody they've ever met in all the world. That's love. How do you explain that? Nobody explained it. But God, who is love, was incarnate in human flesh. He is the embodiment of God's love. In him hid all the treasures. And in him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You think about that. David wanted to build a temple for God. And he allowed his son Solomon to do that. But not David. But he said, will I live in a temple? He said, the heavens can't contain me. I mean, he's everywhere. God is everywhere. But the Bible said in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You say, Brother Billy, the Bible said without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. I can't explain that to you, how that God could take light and make it flesh, how he could take love and make it flesh, how he could take the Word and make it flesh, how he could take God himself and make a body and God himself indwell that body. What an awesome thing. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest, these angels proclaim, because of this one singular act and God displaying things that just blow the mind of a human race, that God would do that. They'd watched history. They'd watched the history of mankind. God had fashioned Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils. And that dust became flesh and bone and sinew, just like you and I have. Had blood coursing through his body. And then God breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. He stood upright and he walked with God and fellowship with God. He caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, took a rib out of his side, made him a woman, a perfect woman in a perfect environment. The angels watched all that. They saw and wondered why God's so good to this new creature, more than any others, more than the animals, more than the vegetation life, more than the fowls of the air, more than he has an affinity, has a love, has a drawn to that creation more than anything else. He loved the world, my dear friend. And they watched the history of mankind. They watched how that when God would shower them with blessings and send rain and give increase and give them treasures and give them homes and give them houses, give them family, they spit in God's face and they mocked him. They made fun of him. He would give leaders and they would destroy them. They'd send prophets, they would stone them. He would send judgment and they would rebel against God. And all that God did for them, they didn't appreciate any of it. They always rebelled against him. And the angels watched all of that. They knew that because of Adam's sin, sin had reigned in the earth. They saw the deaths that came. They saw the sickness that came. They saw the anger that came. They saw all of God's creation that he'd loved so much and poured so much of himself into, how it rebelled against God. They saw all of that. And what would God do? Would God annihilate them off of the face of the earth? Would God get rid of them forever and ever? No. On that one day, God sent the remedy for sin in the person of his dear son. And the angels said, glory to God in the highest. I mean, they marvel at the creation and the incarnation of light, incarnation of the Word, incarnation of love. But they marvel at the graciousness of God, how that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. When he'd been so reviled and rejected and mocked and made fun of, when he gave them laws and they trespassed his laws, when he'd sent them prophets and they killed the prophets, when he gave them blessing and they worshiped idols, how could God do that? Glory to God in the highest. There's nobody like that. There's nobody could love like that. There's nobody could express gratitude like that. Here it is embodied in a human body. The Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God incarnate in a human body. And he loved people. The Bible said of his disciples, having loved his disciples, he loved them to the very end. Those who spit on him, pulled out his beard, beat him with a rod, put a crown of thorns on his head, a robe of purple on his back, scourged him, and drove nails in his hands and nails in his feet, lifted him toward heaven. How does the sovereign of this universe, how does royalty that drips blood from the cross, how is it that royalty, God himself weeps tears? How is it? What would he say? What would be the first utterance out of the mouth of this embodiment of God's love, this embodiment of God's wisdom, this embodiment of God's mercy, the light of the world, the fullness of the Godhead bodily? What would he say now on that cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Here's his greatest creative act. He fashioned a body for the Lord Jesus Christ. He came on Wednesday night. I touched on this for just a little bit. I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, and I want to show you verse number 18. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. In chapter 3 of the book of 1 Peter, look at verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Now, in case you're wondering, the singular just is him. The singular unjust is all of us as a group, all of human race. He's the only just one. He's the only holy one. He was love incarnate in human flesh. All the wisdom of God in flesh, the power of God in flesh, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in one body, in the person of Jesus Christ. But he did not come to display his wisdom. He did not come to display his power so far as just to do miracles. He came to do this one singular act, and that was this. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God and to put to death, and being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. He was clothed in a body of flesh. Light became flesh. Love became flesh. The Word became flesh. God became flesh for this one act. One act. Once to die for sin. He lived all of his life for that greatest of all moments in human history. When he died on that cross and gave his life a ransom. Look over in the book of Romans. If you'll go back to the book of Romans, please, in Romans chapter 8. And I call your attention to verse number 8 in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 3, I'm sorry. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus Christ came in a body of flesh, God himself, Emmanuel, clothed in a human body to suffer and bleed and die that we might have life. The flesh that you and I have could not keep the law. We couldn't do the things of the law. Verse 7 says this, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. A human person in a body of flesh cannot fulfill the law. But Jesus Christ, God in a human body, God who was light, God who was love, God who was all the holiness and righteousness of God, embodied in one body, the fullness of the Godhead, Jesus did. He came and he paid our sin debt. He died on that cross once, the Bible said. He died for sins. He gave his life a ransom that you and I might be saved. God incarnate in human flesh. Not so we'd have songs to sing at Christmas time. Not so we could have manger scenes. But so we could, the Bible said, that he might bring us to God. What a blessing. What a blessing. He did all that for us. Those angels didn't sit on their hands. They said, glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. He clothed himself in human flesh. It's amazing. The creative act was amazing. The grace was amazing. The compassion was amazing. But the result is amazing. He took all of those people, wicked, bound for hell, bound by sin, bound by drugs, bound in every other way, and he gave his son to die for them. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. God gave his son to die for us. And the results of that song LaVon sang, oh, the blood changed us for eternity. He forgave all of our sin. He gave us a new home. Oh, but listen, you know what the Bible said, the Lord said, when he gave us everlasting life, the Lord Jesus Christ came into us, and we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, and it'll deteriorate. I don't care who you are. I don't care how many vitamins you take. I don't care how much you exercise, and I need to do a lot more of both of those. But the body's going to deteriorate. This earthly tabernacle will be destroyed. It will fade away. It may come through cancer. It may come through old age. It may come through some other disease. It may come through some horrific accident. But the body's it's fragile. It's earthen. My dear friend, what he put inside of us, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. He gave his son that you and I could be brought to God and we could fellowship with him. And he gave us an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. And it's all because of him clothing himself in human flesh. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. He gave his son that we could be saved and go to heaven and to bring us to God. I don't care what happens. I don't care what happens in our economy, what happens in our democracy, what happens in our physical body. Praise God, he's taken us to God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Glory to God in the highest. My dear friend, they gloried over that great creative act of forming a body for the Son and he be made flesh. They gloried in his graciousness to wicked and rebellious people. They glorified God for the result of that, that those who were dead in trespass and sin, now we have life. Those who lived in darkness now can have light. Those who were doomed to be in hell now be in heaven for all eternity. And thank God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. My dear friend, he came, and the angels recognized the significance of it. And the sad thing is that there were millions, perhaps, in and around Bethlehem who took no note of that. In John chapter 1, it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Glory to God in the highest. Will you accept that this morning? Will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you accept him as your personal Savior? Will you receive the greatest gift of all? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What an amazing thing. Glory to God in the highest. Thank God. I get to go to heaven because he clothed light in flesh. He clothed the Word in flesh. He clothed love in flesh. And he made God himself in the flesh. Why? That he might die to redeem us, that he might bring us to God. Thank God we get to go to heaven because of that great gift. Would you bow your heads in prayer? With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, I wonder this morning, I don't know, you think back over a minute, Regina and I have been looking through some old pictures, old Christmases, days gone by. I looked at some things and people opening gifts, me even opening gifts myself. I didn't remember what they were. Couldn't distinguish them. Didn't remember them. God's been good to me. People have been good to me. Some gifts I remember a long time, but so many, many wonderful things and gifts and all I've long since forgotten. But the one thing I've never forgotten is that greatest gift of all. The day I bowed my knee and said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm on my way to hell. But God, you said the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I accepted the great gift of salvation. Regardless of what comes and what goes, what happens in our nation or what happens in my physical body, that thought, that thing will never change. He gave me everlasting life. If that's true of you and you know that heaven's your home, you have the greatest gift of all, would you wave your hand toward heaven and thank God for it? Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, my dear friend. Oh, what an awesome act of a holy sovereign God in sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh. It's a free gift. It must be received. If you leave here today or you're in the radio audience, the internet audience, you've heard the message. You know what Jesus did for you? He suffered and bled and died on the cross. God gave his son a body to be pierced and to suffer and bleed and die. He suffered once, the just for the unjust, to put away sin and to bring us to God. He wants to bring you to himself. He wants you to live with him from all eternity. Will you trust him today? Will you not reject him again? Man, you're talking about a great Christmas. If you right now in the radio audience, internet audience, or in this auditorium would receive him as your Savior and Lord, a free gift. You say, Brother Billy, how do I do that? The Bible said you ought to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that God has raised him from the dead. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do you receive him? He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in. I believe it's just that simple. I believe if you recognize this morning you're not saved and you want to be saved, you want to have all your sins forgiven, if you'll open the door, he'll come in. I don't know what your need is this morning. Maybe Christians are here. You just need to get around this altar and thank God and just say in your spirit, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. I don't know what you need to do. Some of you have been praying about a church home. Maybe you've been saved, been baptized, member of another church, you want to move your membership. Some of you just trusted Christ even today. I don't know what your need is. Maybe you're saved, but you need to be baptized. But I invite you this morning to respond this morning to him, not to me, but to him. Take an active step of obedience. Come and if we can pray with you, we'll pray with you. We'll help. If you want to just come and get around this altar, worship him for a while, the busy season, just come and say thank you. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God to do what I cannot do. God, draw by your grace. I pray, God, that some would come and be saved, Christians would come. God, get things right with you. Leave here not a thing between their soul and their Savior. God, those that you've been dealing with in certain ways about church membership or baptism or whatever, God, they'd come and they'd want to follow you and believe his baptism or join the church or whatever you lead them to do. And God, I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.